I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
NFL news in the update today. Houston Texans linebacker Jadeveon Clowney did not get a new long-term deal with the Texans by yesterday's deadline. It was 4 p.m. yesterday, the deadline for players who had been franchised to get a new contract, a long-term contract. So Clowney is expected to miss most, if not all, of training camp. He has still not signed his franchise tender worth $15.9 million for the upcoming season, a one-year deal. And no trade is in the works for Jadeveon Clowney either, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. The Atlanta Falcons did get it done with star defensive tackle Grady Jarrett. They agreed on a four-year extension yesterday before the 4 p.m. deadline. Terms not disclosed, but the reports are the contract's worth $68 million, $38 million guaranteed. Franchise had until 4 to get that deal done, and they got it done. The Falcons and Deion Jones' agent, meantime, scheduled for face-to-face negotiations in Atlanta. Former Steelers and Raiders wide receiver Martavis Bryant, who has been suspended, has formally applied to the NFL for reinstatement, according to ESPN. He sent an email to league officials Saturday requesting reinstatement from an indefinite suspension the league imposed in December for repeated violations of the drug policy. A former fourth-round pick of the Steelers in 2014, Martavis Bryant has missed 36 of a possible 80 regular season games because of that suspension. Hockey news made yesterday by the Buffalo Sabres. They announced that they've signed forward Dylan Cousins to a three-year entry-level contract. Cousins is their first-round draft pick, seventh overall last month at the 2019 NHL draft in Vancouver. He is 6'3", 180 pounds, finished last season tied for 10th among all Western Hockey League skaters with 84 points. Bison homestand continues tonight. They're home against the Charlotte Knights. 7:05 first pitch at Salem Field. Last night, Charlotte beat the Bisons 9-7 in 10 innings. That was game one of this week-long homestand. Left-hander Ryan Borucki's on the mound for Buffalo tonight, his second start for the Herd. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker coming to you here from here until 3 o'clock today. Got Brian Baldinger of NFL Network and Fox Sports coming up in a couple of minutes. Talk about a variety of topics, including some Bills notes. Baldy, former teammate of Steve, does a great job breaking down video. It's kind of the way a lot of these internet guys are going, and it's pretty good, Steve, when a guy gets good at it like Baldinger.
Yeah, and it's all about what he sees, and certainly you can pick out highlights and other things, just pick the great plays for every player. But when they go into certain other things and they start to give you in the mindset of how a defense or an offense works and what the guy's being asked to do and what kind of coverages, and you get down to some technical things, it's pretty fun to have a guy who's been there and knows that stuff to break it down for you and see where a guy's good and where he's bad. And he can show you things consistently where a guy's good and what kind of problems he creates. It's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun to watch.
So we'll talk with Brian Baldinger coming up in about 10, 15 minutes or so. This popped up on CBSSports.com. When was this? Over the weekend, July 12th. Top 10 head coaches in the NFL. The article written by Jared Dubin, but they put together a group involving more than 10 writers and editors from CBSSports.com. They ranked their top 10 coaches, individual ballots fused into one list using a point system. So it's not Jared Dubin's ranking, but it's 10 writers at CBSSports.com ranking the top 10 head coaches in the NFL. I got to say I'm surprised because I don't think he gets a lot of recognition. But Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, is the ninth best head coach in the NFL, according to this article. They write that even though he's 15-17, he's earned a lot of respect around the league for getting 10-6 campaign, while it was 9-7, out of the roster in 2017. Bill's offense took a step backward last year, they write, with a massive personnel overhaul and quarterbacking done by the rookie, but the defense showed significant strides, and that's the side of the ball McDermott calls home. Sean McDermott, ninth best head coach in the NFL, according to the CBSSports.com ranking. You good with that, Steve? You like that?
I am. I mean, you look at the name, and it comes down to, well, who was ahead of him? Well, you guys like who've won Super Bowls like John Harbaugh, Doug Peterson, Pete Carroll, Sean Payton. And Bill Belichick, and then others who have not won Super Bowls ahead of him, like Andy Reid, who is, you know, who's acknowledged as one of the great head coaches who have never won a Super Bowl, although he's been to one. Sean McVay, the guy who has really taken the league and these kind of head coach evaluations by storm. Pete Carroll, not just Pete Carroll, I already said Frank Reich, who is who got as a first year head coach, went from an 0-5 start to rally that team and get them into the playoffs. And, of course, John Harbaugh is also there. So there's some really – he's in some really good company. I think he deserves to be there. And, you know, there's going to be Bills fans and people outside Bills fandom. They're going to poo-poo his selection as a top 10 coach in the NFL. But if you look at the totality of his 3 years here, what he got out of his club in that first season – and what they did and what they were able to do. There's no question this is a team that's on the rise and it's on its way back. I think the surprising thing about this, he's ahead of Mike Tomlin.
Well, I was going to say, you said who's ahead of him, but how about who's behind him? Mike Tomlin is ranked 10th. McDermott ranked 9th. Tomlin has won a Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers and ranked 10th in this ranking, which I think might surprise people. They go to the playoffs a lot.
Tomlin, 8 of his 12 seasons, they've been in the playoffs.
And Sean McDermott is ranked ahead of him. Harbaugh, the Ravens, ranked 8th. Let's go through them real quick.
Two Super Bowls ahead.
You tell me if you think they're about where they belong or should be higher or lower. Frank Reich ranked 7th as the 7th best head coach in the league. Look, we love Frank, right? That's a little high, I think.
I think after just 1 year.
Yeah. That's a little high.
And walking in with Andrew Luck healthy. Well, you know, I think he's a little bit of the flavor of the month.
Yeah.
You know, he's a great coach, no question about it. And I think he's going to continue to be successful. I don't know that you've seen enough of him to put him that high.
6th, Doug Peterson of the Eagles. Hey, I'm okay with that.
He won a Super Bowl in Philly.
Yeah.
Where they, for the first time ever.
They boo Santa Claus. I thought you were going to say that.
You know, I mean, it is a franchise that has struggled. Now, they did really well under Andy Reid, another name on this list. But when he ran his course, they bring Doug Peterson. He did it in his, first or second year? I mean, okay. So, yeah, he deserves it.
Here's an interesting one, I think. Pete Carroll ranked 5th. Listen to this, and you know this, but when you hear it, under Pete Carroll, Seattle has won 4 division titles, 9 playoff games, 2 NFC championships, and a Super Bowl. Maybe 5 is too low for Pete Carroll, right?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
I agree. He deserves to be a top 5 coach, particularly in the current era of history. He is an outstanding coach and has been. And I think the thing too, and you see the totality of it, not just from this present moment, but in every level of football, he's been successful. You can say what you want about his time at USC and the way it ended and the controversies and all that, but, man, the guy wins football games.
Yep.
So, yeah, I agree. He should be. In fact, I think he should be a little higher in this because the guy at number 4, Sean McVay.
Well, this goes to your point about flavor of the month. And, look, McVay's done it. Look, Sean McVay, this is the CBSSports.com top 10 NFL coaches ranked. Sean McDermott, number 9. Sean McVay is 4. 2 years. 24 wins, 8 losses, 2 NFC West titles, went to the Super Bowl. Is he a better coach than Pete Carroll? That's kind of hard to say.
I'll say this, though. He has come a long way. I mean, he took over a club that was it was not good under Jeff Fisher with a quarterback that was a bust. He assembled a staff with Wade Phillips and some older guys on it that he was very, you know, showed some real leadership in doing that. And he deserves all the kudos he's gotten. He did a lot of good things that not every young head coach is smart enough to do. So, yeah, I don't know about ahead of Pete Carroll, but still. Yeah.
Sean Payton, 3rd. This one, I think, is ranked too high, and we don't want to spend too much time on it. But Andy Reid, is he the 2nd best head coach in the NFL?
He's pretty good.
He's up there. Top 5. Yeah.
I think he's
2nd
best
really in the league. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
we know
close.
Who's number 1.
Right.
it's worth looking at. Top 10 head coaches in the NFL on CBSSports.com with Sean McDermott ranked number 9.
That's what I'm going to remember about this entire conversation right there.
Well, what, we got it?
Yeah,
you need more of that? Right. On the line with us right now, a guy who does his work for NFL Network. Great work breaking down video. He is a Fox Sports NFL analyst, played 11 seasons in the NFL as an offensive lineman with Dallas, the Colts, and the Eagles. Cup of coffee here with the Buffalo Bills. Frequent guest on the show. Happy to have him. Brian Baldinger on the line with us. Hello, Brian. John Murphy, Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Hello, John. Steve, good to be with you guys, man. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. Getting ready for camp about a week and a half away. You've done a lot of video breakdowns, including a pretty incisive and complimentary breakdown of Bill's now second-year linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds. What do you see from him? What do you like about him?
Well, he's got a tremendous presence. I mean, obviously his size alone. And then you combine that with elite speed. I always think that if your middle linebacker is fast, your defense looks faster. I think he was, a guy that just got better the more he saw as the season went on. But he got his hands on a lot of footballs. I mean, he led the team in passes, defense. He led the team in tackles. He finds the football, and he does it a lot of different ways. I expect that Sean and Leslie this year will use him in a variety of other ways. I expect him to see him blitz some more this year, get him on backs in pass protection, because he just runs guys over. I mean, he just uses sheer, force and size. So I just saw a lot of great things, for a guy that is still 20 years old. I mean, he's not 21 years old. I guess he just turned 21 in May. I mean, I can't really even fathom, being that young and being that big, that physical, and really that talented so early. We just don't see NFL players come in at that age and play at this level very often, if that ever at all.
Hey, Brian, maybe it's because of his size, but over the course of this offseason, some have suggested that maybe Tremaine Edmonds belongs at outside linebacker. What do you see? Does that make any sense to you?
Well, I mean, he's been an inside linebacker, at Virginia Tech here.
Yeah.
I don't know why you necessarily want to change that. I'm sure he, like a lot of players, I mean, Brian Urlacher went from a strong side linebacker to a middle linebacker, became a Hall of Fame player. I mean, guys do switch positions. But I don't see any reason for him to change position. I mean, they're a four-man front. And I think off the ball inside at a Mike linebacker spot, I think it's just fine for him. I mean, can he do all the mental gymnastics that you need to do at that position? I mean, only, him and Leslie and Sean might know. But it did look like he was getting lost out there very much in the last month of the season, where he had 40 tackles, was pretty dominant there down the stretch.
Yeah, one of the things about him, and the first thing you notice when you watch him on film and when you watch him and see him in person, he's just got such length. He's so tall. He's got such a wingspan. And you really break it down nice on your Twitter post where you show him on film, and even on film, I mean, he's standing next to Matt Milano in a lot of the cut-ups, and he's just massive. His wingspan and his height, you can just see the quarterback. I mean, a couple of them, Brady's trying to look him off, and he still has the length and the range to knock down a lot of passes. And having a big body, even in an NFL setting where everybody's big, having a wingspan and a body who can move that fast and run around really puts a crimp in a passing game and gets in the quarterback's vision, and he paid dividends in all the tipped balls he had.
Yeah, and little Steve, I mean, if you look at a lot of the analytics that are coming into the NFL and we're evaluating these players' length, whether it's Darius Leonard in Indianapolis, his arm length, or Derwin James and his length, or, Tremaine Edmonds, I mean, length is a big factor right now. It's kind of positionless football. It's a little bit like Golden State basketball right now. And the more you can in a league where teams are passing at 60-65% of the time, when you can get in the passing lanes and deflect balls or alter the course of a football, it's huge. I mean, and it doesn't have to, you only have to do it once or twice a game, and it can can really alter the outcome of the game. He clearly altered the trajectory of a lot of passes. And it wasn't, Blake Bortles. I mean, it was Tom Brady. It was Aaron Rodgers. He was affecting a lot of elite players' throws over the middle of the field. And he got his hands on a lot of footballs. I mean, he had two interceptions last year, but he probably had his hands on six or seven where, you keep working on the gun at the end of practice. You keep working on your hands. You're going to come down with even more of those. And so I expect that this is just the beginning, that we're going to see a big leap this year in the second year. Most players, their biggest leap is between that first and second year, and I think we're going to see a lot more of it this year.
We're on the line with Brian Baldinger. He does Baldy's Breakdowns on NFL.com. He is a Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Another guy going into his second year, another first-round pick of the Bills, quarterback Josh Allen, who you describe as an elite athlete. What kind of a leap do you expect to see from him in his second year on the roster?
Well, I mean, I thought he played behind, you know, one of the worst offensive lines in football last year. And now whether that, you know, forced him to take off like he did last year, I mean, he led the league. He led the team in rushing. So, you know, not taking anything away from, you know, Shady McCoy did not have a good year. But behind that offensive line, you lead the team in rushing. You run for over 7 yards a carry and 8 touchdowns. I mean, you'd like to see him run less and throw more and throw at a higher percentage. And I think he's capable of doing that. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks go from 10 touchdowns to 12 interceptions in their first year when they're trying to figure everything out and they're trying to rebuild an offensive line. You know, they're not very good up front to, you know, going 18 and 80 the next year. You know, and I think you could see 18 to 20 touchdowns from Josh this year. You know, if he just throws it more, I think, you know, there's a new offensive line coach, a new way of doing things. Deion Dawkins is going into his third year. They've upgraded the talent, I think, in some spots. I can see, you know, Josh making that leap in the pass game. I think the ability to pull the ball down and run like we saw him just destroy the Miami Dolphins last year amongst other teams, I mean, I think that ability is still there. But at the end of the day, you don't want him leading your league, your team in rushing. You want to see him, you know, third, fourth in the team. That's up in Seattle last year. They went from having, you know, their quarterback go from leading the team in rushing the year before to, you know, putting the team in the playoffs and throwing the ball a lot better than he did. And so I think that's really what's to be expected from Josh this year. That's what I'm looking for. You know, stay in the pocket, trust the protection, have better protection, and make the throws, even if it's just checkdowns. And, you know, it just throws where guys can do a lot of stuff after the catch.
Yeah, we've been talking. We've had a conversation all day today about what's the most, after a quarterback position, what's the most valuable spot on, what's the most valuable position on a football team? And I'm going to put it to you, Baldy, and after the quarterback, what's the most valuable position on your football team?
Well, it's the offensive line. So it's those five guys. I mean, you're not going to get to the playoffs without a good group. You're not going to you know, find a wild card spot and be in the hunt for a wild card spot without a good group up front. And so, you know, we'll see if Cody Ford can come in and, you know, lock down that right tackle spot and upgrade it, you know, and see if Mitch Moore's, you know, coming from Kansas City can upgrade the center position. I mean, those are two key spots right there. It's a question right now of, you know, how quickly can they gel, come together. But, you know, to see Shady go down, you know, in rushing the way he did last year, I mean, I don't think he's ready for that type of a dramatic fall off. But I was surprised that the Bills found a way to win 6 games last year, just looking at the offensive line in August a year ago. And so I think they're going to improve a great deal there. And if they do, I mean, this is a team that can play 500 football or better if they can improve in that spot. But to answer your question, Steve, it's the offensive line's the second most important position behind the quarterback.
Baldy, we got talking about this because, you know, we took note of Melvin Gordon out west with the Chargers and his contract demands and you know, what goes on with running backs and maybe how they've been devalued. What do you think? I mean, the Bills have a lot of money invested in LeSean McCoy. Is that smart in today's NFL? Do running backs still have that kind of value?
Well, I think they do. I mean, you know, the Patriots invested in the first-round pick, you know, at running back, and he paid off, and he had a great Super Bowl, and was a big part of them winning that game. Melvin Gordon is as good a dual threat running back for what the Chargers do out there as just about anybody. I mean, he's a big, big fit for what they do. Now, I know he missed a month of the season. They won all 4 games without him. But if you ask Phillip Rivers how valuable Melvin Gordon is, he'll tell you that he's really valuable. He's coached by the only former running back to be a head coach in this league, and I think that Anthony Lynn has really helped Melvin Gordon a great deal. But, you know, whether it's Jadeveon Clowney right now or Melvin Gordon holding out, you only get certain times in your whole career where you can, you know, really get a payday. You know, sometimes it's just free agency, and sometimes you just got to say, you know what, the only leverage I have is to withhold my services. And I'll take my chances. And we'll see what happens to both guys. I don't expect a deal to be done for either one, to be honest with you, just because the money is kind of dried up and they're under contract. So I don't think anything is going to get done, but that's That's the statement they're making right now, but I don't think either player is going to do what Le'Veon Bell did.
What do you think about Jadeveon Clowney not signing a long-term deal with the Houston Texans? He's probably the most, maybe the most productive defensive player out there who is, you know, maybe getting going to get franchised. Is he going to get a long-term deal with the Texans? And if he hits a free agency, is he going to hit a home? He will hit a home run unless they pay him.
I mean, I thought after 12 weeks last year, Steve, that he could have easily been the defensive player of the year. He was just that disruptive. And it wasn't just sack numbers. I mean, it's just the way that the defense responded and how Romeo Crennel allowed him to do certain things, just freelance, just destroy plays. I mean, he was just a human wrecking ball. I don't know what Houston's plans are. They fired their general manager. They got to get a deal done. I mean, he is an elite athlete. He changes the way the game is played. Him and J.J. together are as good as tandem, getting after the quarterback as anybody in the business right now. So I expect them to get a deal done. I don't know, without a general manager, who's in charge, if it's Billy O'Brien right now or whoever. But I think that the Houston Texans would make a huge mistake if they ever allow Jadeveon Clowney to get to free agency.
On the line with Brian Baldinger and Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. I want a little bit of NFL news from a couple of weeks ago when the Jets lost their tight end Chris Herndon for the first four games, including the opener against Buffalo. You think that's a big loss, right? You consider Herndon maybe the most underrated tight end in the NFL?
Well, I don't know if he's the most underrated tight end. I mean, that's what the headlines they put on that. But, I thought that he had the best chemistry with Sam Darnold last year. And just watching a couple of OTAs this year, and just watching his hands and some of the plays that he made this past spring, and I think the trust that Sam has in him, I think that's where, I think he's going to be really valuable. Quarterbacks just love big tight ends in the middle of the field. They like big bodies. They like guys that have big wingspans. They like guys that are pretty fearless over the middle, where defenses are pretty helpless to sort of, bang them around and really do much to them these days with the way the rules have changed. So they're real valuable people in the middle of the field. You could see it, especially the last month of the season. Herndon and Darnold, they had really good chemistry. And so I think it's going to be a real loss for the New York Jets that first month of the season.
I was going to ask you one more thing, Baldy, about a team out west, the 49ers. We had a conversation about their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, being maybe a shoe-in for the comeback player of the year if he plays well this season after losing an entire last season. But how important is this season for the 49ers? Are they all in to win it or go home?
Well, they have to be in the playoff hunt. I mean, I said yesterday, that anything less than 10 wins would be a huge disappointment. They have been acquiring and accumulating high-level talent, whether through free agency or high picks, for three straight years in a row. Either Kyle Shanahan can put this together or they can't. I mean, they led the league last year in turnovers. I mean, nobody fumbled the ball more than the 49ers. I mean, it's not just talent. It's the way that they played. And so they've got the sloppy play that they demonstrated a year ago was not because of injuries. It's just sloppy play. And so they have more than enough talent to make the playoffs. They can compete with both Seattle and the Rams, in that division. They just have to do it now. And so, whether Jimmy Garoppolo plays 16 games or not, this has to be a playoff push team this year, or I think it's just going to be a major disappointment. I mean, I would be, if I was in that 49er organization, anything less than 10 wins would be just devastating to me.
Brian, we thank you for this. We enjoy your work, especially Baldy's breakdowns on NFL.com when you really do get into the nuts and bolts of it. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, John. Take care.
Thanks.
Talk to you down the road, Steve. See
all
you,
right, Baldy.
Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, Fox Sports NFL analyst. He is a Radio.com Sports NFL insider joining us on the line. Check out his stuff on NFL Network, especially stuff about the Bills, about Tremaine Edmonds. A lot of good things to say about him. Taking a break here. Coming back with more. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health. From One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. A lot of people used to be. I feel
huge.
Like, has it faded in popularity somewhat? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Because Madden 20 is out. Bills get varying grades. I don't.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't think there's anybody who's going to blow you away with their grade from the Buffalo Bills. But we're going to talk to one of the developers, Clint Oldenburg. We had him on the show last year, I believe, maybe 2 years ago. Former NFL player who helps develop the Madden 20 game. Helped develop it.
Yeah.
Talk about how these ratings come about. Some of the reaction. I guess Tre'Davious White had a reaction to it, right? He was on NFL Network this morning. I believe we have that. Tre'Davious White talked about his player rating for Madden 20, and here's what he had to say.
I did, but I'm not a big guy into video games. I don't really play video games, but I feel like they robbed us on a lot of our guys, man. I mean, look at Micah Hyde. I feel like he should be in the 90s. He's one of the best safeties in the game. From the last 2 years, him and Jordan Poirier, I pretty much think those guys are the best safety duo in the NFL. If you just look at the numbers and look at the way that those guys take the ball away. And then we got Shady at an 82, which is very disrespectful. And then you got Josh Allen at a 74, man. It's something that you know, those guys are pretty much going to take, you know, I feel like, you know, just taking it to the season. That's the extra motivation that we need to get the acknowledgement that we deserve.
Well, Tre'Davious wasn't livid about it, but sticking up for his teammates, I'm all right with that. Huh?
Well, and let's face it, it's a video game. I mean, it's not like they're...
What do you mean? It's not real?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Doesn't it mean anything?
It means nothing.
Some people think it does. We'll talk with Clint Oldenburg, who's made it his life's work. You going to say that to him tomorrow?
Listen,
Clint,
it's a
video game.
It's a video game, but listen, it's the same thing. I mean, he's got skin in the game, right?
Yeah.
So for him, it should be important.
It is important.
So there you go.
He'll join us tomorrow on the show. All right, time now for NFL True and False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Are you ready to go?
I am.
This is not What's for Lunch, by the way. This is True and False.
True and False.
Peyton Manning, this is a post on CBSSports.com over the weekend. Peyton Manning refused a Monday Night Football deal to be the color man on Monday Night Football because he did not want to criticize his brother Eli. True, false. I'm going to say false, right? I'm sure he had a number of reasons. I read some of them. He talked to Peter King about it. Yeah, Eli is part of it, I guess, but I think it's more about does he want to criticize any of the guys that he played right. with or teammates or friends. He's not – look, he doesn't need to. He's doing what's going to look like a really special series coming up on ESPN, right? Peyton's Places. Have you seen some of the highlights of that?
Right.
Doesn't need to do Monday Night Football. So he turned it down, but I think it's false.
And I think it's probably true along with, like you said, a lot of other things. I mean, it's one of the contributing factors. He does not want to be in the booth and have to go into production meetings and talk to his brother Eli, and particularly in the midst of what could be the beginning of, or right in the midst of, or the true meaning of, the twilight of his brother's career. Eli takes a lot of criticism in New York. You know, if he's on Monday Night Football, the Giants are going to be on at least once, probably twice during the football season. And there is something to be said for having to go up and be brutally honest on a national level with guys you played with, and certainly with your brother. So I think on one point, I think that is true, but I think there are also some contributing factors as well.
Yeah, there's more to it,
I guess.
All right, part two, NFL True or False, presented by Yancey's Fancy. The Dolphins' orange jersey is the ugliest in the NFL. Have you seen it? An alternate jersey they have, the Miami Dolphins. Orange, the predominant color. It's ugly. Is it the ugliest? What do you think?
It's not even close to being the ugliest. The Browns' brown uniforms
Thank you.
Are the
I was
ugliest.
Thinking that, too.
Are you kidding me? I mean, I've seen worse things. Think about the old Tampa Bay Buccaneers creamsicle jerseys. I mean, those were pretty bad, too. But every once in a while, it's kind of nice to see them, you know. But this dolphin orange thing, come on. And how about the Jaguars turquoise? Oh my gosh, it's an atrocity.
Tennessee Titans look like World Football League uniforms, don't they?
Yeah, they're a little busy.
Yeah, I don't like Tennessee Titans.
So there's a lot of bad uniforms. No, the Dolphins orange, you know, I'm obviously no fan of the Dolphins, but that, you know, that's not even the top five or ten.
Yeah, we're both saying false.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great looking uniform. Remember we had the uniform guy on a couple of months ago?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember going in there, you were saying to me, what are we going to talk to him about? He's great. Right? He was good.
Yeah, he does. He surprised me.
The Bills have a classic uniform. They really do. I think the Bills classic blue and white is among the best in the NFL, top five.
There's two, to me, there's two criteria for a good jersey. One is obviously the color scheme, right? Yeah. How do the colors go together? I mean, that's one thing, right? The second thing is the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
The simpler, the better. And certainly you can be bold and you can have like broad stripes down the pants or whatever, but the simpler the better. Don't, you know, the swoops and the swirling lines and stuff, they start a little bit gimmicky and a little bit trendy. But the classic things are just big, good color schemes with bold, simplistic stripes and markings. That's it. And the simpler you make it, the better. And so that's kind of my criteria. And certainly gotcha. The Bills have some great ones.
Part three, NFL true or false. Here's an interesting concept. Matt Ryan, Atlanta Falcons, is the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. That was something put out there by bloggingdirty.com. I don't know what kind of website that is. I'm not going to do it at work either. But Matt Ryan is the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. Let me just say false. You know, we talked about him earlier. Matt Stafford might be the most underrated quarterback in the NFL, not Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan was an MVP.
Yeah. He's not underrated, and he's not that good either. He's okay. He's pretty
MVP.
Good. Yeah, he's pretty good.
He is good.
Not
and
underrated.
And everybody knows he's a quality quarterback. He didn't get underrated.
No.
Listen, you know, he's playing for the Falcons, and maybe they don't win as many games as you think they should. He's got one of the top receivers, if not the best receiver in the National Football League. Certainly, Julio Jones is on track. He reached 10,000 yards in his career faster than anybody else. Who do you think was throwing him the ball?
Right.
Okay, so
he's good.
He's very good.
Not
and,
great.
And he's been I got to say it again. He's a former MVP. He's not underrated. He was the most valuable player in the league. So sit down and shut up. He's fine.
Take that up with bloggingdirty.com.
Yeah, I'm with you.
There you go. NFL True and False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. You had that printed up when I was gone. The Yancey's Fancy sponsor read.
I needed it.
Yeah. What were you calling them once? America's Favorite Artisan Cheese or something?
America's cheese. That's what I call them. I did it from over here, though. I was trying to read upside down.
Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Maybe it is America's cheese. Might be. All right, a break here. We're back with more. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Okay, hope you've all learned a lot. What have we learned from today's show? It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Good show today. George Wilson on the show today. Former Bills safety back in town this week to speak to the NFL Bills rookie club, first-year season ticket holders. George Wilson made an incredible switch 2.5 years into his career from playing wide receiver to playing safety, and he talked about it with us on the show today.
But a lot of it was mental, John. You had to play with an edge on defense. You know, you have to be able to anticipate and react in a fraction of a second in order to make a play on their football or to get off the field on third down. And so it was a lot more film study going in. You know, as a wide receiver, you know, Steve.
Right.
You know where you're going. You know, the right. defense has to anticipate based on your alignment, based on the formation, based on the quarterback's drop. You know, so you know where you're going on offense, on defense. You got to do a lot of film study, a lot of preparation to be able to anticipate those plays. And that's the difference between being average, being good, and being great are the players that can carry over that film study and make plays on game day.
It was great catching up with George Wilson on the show today. I'm glad he was able to join us. Also on the show today, just a few minutes ago, Brian Baldinger from Fox Sports NFL coverage and from NFL Network. Brian Baldinger is a big fan of one of the Bills' first-round picks last year, Tremaine Edmonds, the linebacker. He says he is a sensational player. Here's what he had to say to us.
Well, he's got a tremendous presence. I mean, obviously his size alone. And then you combine that with elite speed. I always think that if your middle linebacker is fast, your defense looks faster. I think he was, a guy that just got better the more he saw as the season went on. But he got his hands on a lot of footballs. I mean, he led the team in passes, defense. He led the team in tackles. He finds the football. And he does it a lot of different ways. I expect that Sean and Leslie this year will use him in a variety of other ways. I expect him to see him blitz him more this year. Get him out and back in pass protection. Because he just runs guys over.
You know, it's good that we had Brian Baldinger on and he talked about that. See, because I do think, and look, I know, and everybody says it well, Josh Allen is the key. Josh Allen, first-round pick. Yeah, he's the key to what kind of season the Bills are going to have, what kind of team they're going to be. But I think we sometimes overlook Tremaine Edmonds, another first-round pick who played, 15 games last year and did a lot of good things.
He was defensive.
You know how we talk about Josh got better every week? I think Tremaine got better as the season went along, too.
He was defensive rookie of the month. Yeah. In December last year, second half of the season last year, he played extremely well, and it got noticed by a lot of people. The thing that I've always said, Murph, and I get you get tired of hearing it, smart players always get better. And Tremaine Edmonds, Josh Allen, these guys this year, Cody Ford, Ed Oliver, they're really intelligent football players. Now, I'm not just talking about football IQ. I'm talking about guys, and when you talk to them, they're articulate. They know what's going on. Their lights are on, and they're hard workers. Smart guys always get better. And so that's why it's kind of exciting to think about the step that these two young players like Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds could take in their second year, because there's no doubt they're putting in the work. So it's going to be fun to see them, see them progress as a result of it.
There's the cliche about a sophomore slump. I don't have that concern for either Josh or Tremaine Edmonds, just based on what you just talked about, the way they approach their jobs.
I hope I'm right,
but I just don't see that coming for either one of them.
Yeah, I don't either. And that doesn't mean they're going to come out and all of a sudden they're going to be, all perennial all pros, right out of the gate either. But certainly their play, both of them together, as we've talked about with this Twitter poll all day, I think they elevate the guys around them. This is not going to be a team, theoretically. This team is not going to be led by the quarterback in rushing again because of the offensive line upgrades and because of the people around them, because of the weapons they have on the outside as well. This is going to be a completely different-looking offense. Josh is not going to have to do the things he did last year to be successful. The question remains, can he do the other things that you have to do to be successful? Because he can do all the stuff you hope he never has to do. But the question remains, let's see what this looks like. And it's getting close to the time when we're actually going to get a look at it. I can't wait.
Week and a half until camp. Yeah. Hey, we had a pretty good dialogue going on our Twitter poll today on One Bills Live. After quarterback, what is the most valuable position in the NFL? We had close to 900 votes cast on the Twitter poll. The biggest group went to pass rusher. 45% said after the quarterback, pass rusher is the most valuable position in the NFL. I would go with that, but I'm surprised a cornerback didn't get more votes. Offensive tackle was number two, 31%. Only 17% went for cornerback, 7% and somebody else in mind. I think we're not paying as much attention to corners as we should.
A little bit of it is we're talking to Bills fans, and they went through a rough season on the offensive line last year, and I think that's a little bit of a reaction saying, listen, I don't care what happens. I don't want to go through that again. So, listen, let's get an offensive tackle that we can trust and to elevate the guys around him before we get anybody else.
A little Madden talk coming up on the show tomorrow. Madden 20 is out there, and one of the game rating experts, Clint Oldenburg, will join us on tomorrow's show to talk about the Bills ratings and some of the others. Look forward to that. Good show today, Steve. I have a question for you.
Let's hear it.
When I give the credits here, those on vacation, do they get a credit? In other words, did you mention my name last week when I was not here?
Absolutely I did.
Okay.
Although I did not thank you. I just mentioned that you were not here.
All right. Our production assistants include those on vacation. George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Homiter, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Karges, James Robel, our producer, Jay Harris. See you tomorrow at noon. One Bills Live presented by Kalina Health from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.